Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we have got a very special guest who is visiting from Peru. And as I was telling you last week, she's a woman that has a very unique history. She's visiting in the Pacific Northwest, and we have her available by phone. She's with us right now. Sylvia is a Peruvian shaman. And she is a woman that has a fascinating story to tell. Sylvia, I want to welcome you to the show.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Now, Sylvia, would you please pronounce Kaliseya, I believe is your part of your last name, but would you pronounce C-H-U-Q-U-I-M-I-A?
Yeah, C-A-L-I. Yeah, the other last name is, of course, Chukimia, C-H-U-Q-U-I-M-I-A.
Chukimia is how it's pronounced.
That is my, you know, we have in my place the last names. One is father and the other one is the mother. So my father name is Kalisaya and my mother name is Chukimia.
Chukimia. Well, I was afraid to say it because I thought I was going to end up chopping it with a verbal butcher knife, and I didn't want to do that. So I wanted you to pronounce it for me. I'm so delighted that you're visiting the United States. Now, my audience knows that I met you a year ago here in the Pacific Northwest, and it was a delight having you as a guest in my home to become familiar with you. And you have a friend, Latisse McCoy, who is the person that enabled us to connect. And she has been working with you in the Pacific Northwest, helping you to meet with different people. A shaman often has an image that is portrayed in people's minds that makes them quite exceptional and very, very special. In your culture, first of all, would you tell my listeners where you are from in Peru and a little bit about your culture and how you ended up becoming a shaman? Who trained you? I know I'm throwing a lot of questions at you, but could you just take them in any order that you like?
Yes, of course. First, I came from Peru, but from the south side of Peru, and that is the highest part of the world, what is the high plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And we say the high plateau is really the heart of the world. And in that high is the Lake Titicaca, and which is the highest navigable lake in the world. It's about more than 13,000 feet. Imagine, in other parts of the world with the same altitude, no life, but we live there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest navigable lake in the world. And around that lake, there are still a very ancient generation of people of all over the world. And these are the pre-Incas people, or Aymaras. That is my born language, Aymara. And I live in that high highland. And I rise up there. I grew up there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I am a healer. Why? Because my parents, my grandparents, my grandmother, she was a healer. She was, I think, very special healer.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was also a healer and also a midwife. Then I learned many things from them, especially my grandmother. And doing the expertise of the coca reading, the coca leaves reading. And I learned, I think, in my childhood. But I say that was a gift also of the God, because then I did, and I do know about a lot about this coca reading. It's therapy.
Yes. Now, with your mother and your grandmother, every culture has its particular gifts that it will give to each generation. When your grandmother was teaching you, and you do what you call the coca leaf reading, and we'll go into a little bit of information about coca leaves, because the information you give about that is just really fascinating. But when you were taught this,
that was about my 8 years old.
Oh, she started you at eight?
Since my 8 years old. When I used to go with my grandmother, because she used to go doing healings for different people, different healings as well, and I used to follow her and learn about that. And then I used to see her how doing this very close, you see, because imagine in the Spanish time, the Inquisition and many punish from the Spaniards. Mm-hmm. They couldn't permit people to do healings. And I have seen my grandmother how she was doing the healing, and I asked her why she did closed. But she told me there will be one time when women will be permitted doing healing. You see? And I did the readings. I think that was in my first primary school, as just playing a game with the leaves, doing for my classmates, my friends. You see? And there were my classmates coming to my home and asking for me to do the readings. But, you know, that was just as a playing. And one day my mother had seen this. And she stopped me. Why you do that for people? You need to stop and wait, because there will be one time when we will be permitted to do healing. And you will travel, or you will go everywhere you want. I think that was something very special, which I remember till now. Because I can see. That was a prediction, because now I've been in many places doing the coca reading, as in America.
Yes. See? Yes, you are traveling to many places. And I'm so glad you're here in the Pacific Northwest. What I find so intriguing is that the women in your family have carried forth this tradition, excuse me. And you as an individual now are carrying it forth on a whole different level, on an international level. And it's amazing how there are so many parallels between your culture and, let's say, the European culture, where they forbid a lot of people to do what we would call the healing and or the readings, as they are called today, or maybe it would even have been titled fortune-telling at some time in Europe. But in your culture, which is a very, very old, old culture that was so severely suppressed by the invaders, and they didn't want you doing what you had done for hundreds, thousands of years, do you find today, because of your being able to travel, because of your being able to share your gifts with people, no matter where you are, do you think that is having a positive effect when you go back to Peru on people that might be interested in developing their gifts of sight as you have?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is part of the beginning. I said I was lucky really to have this door opened to all over the world, and then share the people, because I'm doing that, sharing with the people, with other people, as this American cultures. I've been in many places, so I think that will help, you see? mm-hmm. sharing to different cultures, and the different cultures to my place as well. Because we said, really, that place is not, I think most of the people in all over the world, they don't know about that place.
Mm-hmm.
I think many people, they know about Incas. Inca Empire was very big in all South America.
Mm-hmm.
But in that part, around the Lake Titicaca, the people are still with very, very ancient beliefs. You see? And one of the group, we call it as the Kolya. Kolya in Aymara word, in my language, means medicine. So those people were as a healer, using herbs, plants, or animals for medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So we said that place is the place of the healers. And people
now,
are still doing it.
You have been using the coca leaves as part of your readings. It's a tool for you. But I would love for you to share the information about the coca leaf, because I think so many of us here in the United States, we get a very limited understanding of this plant. We hear the stories about, well, you know, the coca leaf, it's drugs, it's this, it's that, it's the other. Yet I remember from our conversation last year that tons of coca leaves are imported here into the United States and into different parts of the world, not just for medicinal purposes, but it is a very, very valuable plant. And among the people of Peru, it is used to help them work at higher elevations. And it's not a narcotic in the sense that most people think of it as. Would you educate us a little bit about the coca leaf, why it is so valuable to your culture and to other people in the world? And what do we need to learn about it?
Yeah, of course, coca actually is very controversial, as you said, in all over the world. Many people, they don't know about the coca leaves, but in the place where I live, people are still using in
mm-hmm.
three ways. Food, because coca contains a long amount of nutrients, especially iron, calcium, all the vitamins, A, B, C, B12,
interesting.
Which is very important. So it's one of the leaves in the world that contains almost all the nutrients, as the spinach. That's why I say sometimes Popeye needs to have coca.
That's the first time I've heard that one.
Yeah, because coca contains more than three times than the spinach, you see? So our ancients, they used as a food. And the second point is medicine. We know the coca can cure more than 50 illnesses.
Imagine
50? For everything, you see?
Wow.
And it's good also, we suggest tourists to have a coca tea because it's good for altitude,
mm-hmm.
headache, dizzy, and the nausea, you see, the stomach ache.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very good for the ones that they go from the low to the upside. That's why it's suggested for the tourists, for the visitors. And the last way is in the ritual side. Coca is still used as a wine and bread in the Catholic.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's as a sacred leaves to talk with the spirits of all over the world. It's the connection with all our spirits. So that's why our ancients, they use it as a very, very sacred leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that's why Spaniards punished to the healers when they landed to Peru.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still used in these three ways. But actually, you know, coca is a very controversial point because maybe the cocaine. But many people, they don't know about the coca.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in South America, because it's very original from South America, There are about 200 varieties of coca.
I had no idea. 200 varieties.
Between these 200, three just contains the cocaine alkaloid. That point is the controversial because the narcotraffic power, they don't want to teach people. Because we can isolate the ones without and the ones with. The ones without we can use.
Mm-hmm.
See? That point is the controversial, and we know in all over the world the narcotraffic power is very big, and we are not permitted to bring other places our sacred leaves.
Well, what a shame. I had no idea that there were 200 varieties. That is an incredible number. And to be aware that there's only three particular branches of the cocoa plant. When I say branches, I mean species types that actually contain the molecular structure for producing cocaine itself. So the others are not of that dispositioning at all.
Yeah. That's why we need many tons of coca leaves per 1 kilo of cocaine. You see? And the cocaine makers, they need many, many tons. But, you know, the it's same as when we said the grapes is not the wine, and coca green coca leaves is not the white cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know from various travelogues I've watched through the years that people that go into the mountains in South America, they very easily get altitude sickness.
Yeah.
And that the cocoa leaf tea is what's served. And I recall a story about a couple of American women that just were so very, very ill, and they loved traveling in South America. And once they learned about that tea, they made sure they had it on every trip, and they never got sick again. And I think of that, it could do so much good, I think, if there was more appropriate knowledge about the value of this and how it could benefit people on so many different levels. And the fact that you made out the 3 points, that it's a food, that there is a tremendous history behind this, that there is medicine that can be made from it. What are some of the illnesses? I know you mentioned nausea and headaches and, you know, various things.
Because the calcium, for example, is good for when you broke bones.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that. It's very, very good. And also you can eat because the calcium. It's good, really, for the bones, for the toothache. Very, very good. It's good for sex.
Aha! Boy, that'd be a hot item.
Yeah. And it's good for the blood circulation. So mint also is very good for heart. You see?
Well, it has so many nutrients in it. That was really an interesting statement.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Three times the nutrient value of spinach. And spinach has quite a bit of nutrient in it. But to know that something like this is even higher in those nutrients, I would think that someone in the nutritional arena might want to research this even further because that could be very beneficial, could keep people healthier.
It's good for arthritis. You know, people in the home, in the place where I live, they don't suffer arthritis.
Oh, that's
no osteoporosis. Because the calcium of the coca.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sylvia, when you do your cocoa reading, I know we are not on television where we could demonstrate it, but tell us what the procedure is with doing those cocoa leaf readings. Is it dried cocoa leaves? Do you use the fresh cocoa leaves? Do you just hold them in your hand and let them drop to the earth and then read the patterns? What do you do when you're doing those cocoa leaf readings?
Well, I think that's why I say this is the gift of the gods, because I learned to talk with the spirit of the coca. That's why we say the coca is a very sacred leaf and has a spirit, is a feminine spirit, and it's very, very powerful. And I connect in a special ceremony, the spirit of the coca with the leaves. And then I think the leaves, he has to start talking to me when I do the reading.
Mm-hmm. So they're a focal point of concentration for you that allows you to make that connection with the individual that is in front of you.
Yeah.
Now, Sylvia, you are in the Pacific Northwest. You are traveling here for a little bit of time. And I know that you have a website where people can go, and Latice has been posting information regarding what you're doing. So let me give out your website so that people can see your bio, get your information, and then also get a little bit of history about you. And I'm going to spell it out. It's www.museodelacoca.com. That's museodelacoca.com. And you are going to be doing a number of appearances while you're here in the Pacific Northwest. And you are going to be doing not just talks, you're also going to be available for readings.
Yes.
But you're going to be talking about the cultural and healing traditions of Peruvian Aymara, and that's going to be at the East West Bookshop in Seattle on
yes.
Saturday and Sunday, which was, gee whiz,
yes.
was it this past weekend you did that?
Yeah, I did that.
Okay, now you're going to be at the Tower Memorial Church in Seattle
yes.
on the 23rd. You're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 27th, you're going to be at Marlene's Market in Delhi, which is in Federal Way. And you're going to be talking about food and how it can be used for healing. And quinoa, you're going
quinoa,
to be talking
yeah.
about.
Mm-hmm.
You have such an interesting background. And with your expertise and your learnings that you've acquired both from your grandmother and your mother, as well as from various experiences in your life. Sylvia, when you are talking to people and when you are sharing your knowledge, what is it that is most important to you to be able to give in the way of understanding? Because you are from a different culture, you're coming into an environment where we have such a mixture of cultures here in the United States, what is your focus? What is it that you really want to get across to the people, like my audience that's listening today?
I think first is to share the life philosophy that we have still in this, in the part where I live, you see? And which I think many ancient cultures, they had, but they were losing, or they were forgetting. And while in the place where I live, I can say they are still with that, such a special life philosophy that people are still using and doing. And being here, of course, I learned many things. And I can understand that they need to remain the ancient things.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I can see how many people in all over the world, they are going back into these ancient things, ancient beliefs, and natural things, you see? And I can see that.
Now, in your culture, in your culture's philosophy, the year 2012, there are so many people that want to make it doomsday, so many people that want to make it the end of the world. It is not that at all, in my perception, and I don't believe it's in your culture's perception either. With your cultural background, have you been asked what is the perception about the year 2012 in your culture? How is that seen?
Yeah, you know, many religious sects, they said that 2012 will be the end of the world, will be the collapsing of the world. And many religious sect also, they said, go to the church, become religious, pray for your place in that other world. So we suppose really, according to the calendars, the most ancient calendars, included my culture, they said that will be the feminine time because we've been in the masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So after 2012, or there is a little difference, some cultures said 2013, will be again with the female. So this Mother Earth, the Pachamama, as we said, will become again with her power and will permit us to live as in a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mother Earth was not with her power. Now, after 2012, we'll be with her power, and we'll be the feminine time, really. But for women, we are very special.
Mm-hmm.
And the world will be different. Of course, I think for some, they are quite attached to the masculine energy. They will feel something different. They will feel the change. But for the ones we are attached to the feminine side, I think will be such a special change, including
I agree.
Our Mother Earth.
I agree. Now, Sylvia, in our few minutes left, as a teacher, which is what you're doing every time you travel, you're always passing along knowledge to others, plus doing private appointments with them. As a teacher, in your culture, do you look for certain people that you can pass your knowledge on to? I know that many shamans are very, very particular about who they bring in close to them because they feel that you have to prove and demonstrate that you are worthy. And is this true in your culture? I know in your family, your grandmother and your mother recognized your talents, but just like your mother saying, no, you cannot do certain things at this time, wait. Your time is not now. When you were a little girl, she was trying to assist you to get through and to literally travel an easier path. Are you doing this? Are you looking for people that you can pass your knowledge on to?
Yes.
And have you found anyone at this time that you would want to...
Especially my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I know that things come generation by generation. And I found in my daughter such a special gift.
Mm-hmm.
So I know my son or my daughter, they will be still doing ceremonies, same as I did. They
well,
are
that's
learning.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. Now, Sylvia, is there a way that people can get in touch with you? I think they can reach you via email. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. So let me give that out for anyone that might be interested in being in touch with Sylvia. She is here in the Pacific Northwest and is going to be visiting some other places in the United States. But here's her email, sylviafromperu@yahoo.com. And Sylvia is spelled S-I-L-V-I-A. From Peru at yahoo.com. Well, Sylvia, I know you're going to have a very good trip here in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm looking forward to enjoying some time to visit with you while you and Latisse are out and about doing your work. Where are you going after you leave the Pacific Northwest?
Well, I think I'm going my home, Peru.
Oh, you're going to go back to Peru.
After that, you know, I said, really, that was true. And what my mother told me, you will be going many places. And I think I'm doing. And my next trip arriving in Peru will be in March to Holland.
To Holland?
I am invited to go to Holland, yes.
That is marvelous. Well, I know that you have done some traveling to New York, and there's going to be some other places coming up as well.
I wish you well in all of your travels. And again, for those of you that want to visit her website, and I'll spell it out for you, it's Muse, MUSEODELACOCA.com. If you'd like to send Sylvia an email, you can do so, Sylvia, S-I-L-V-I-A, from Peru, @yahoo.com. Sylvia, it's been delightful having you as a guest. I'm so delighted that you have been able to make this trip into the United States and be here in the Pacific Northwest. You will also, for those of you listening, if you want to find out where she's appearing and various information about her, do contact her by email, and you will be able to get everything that you need. Sylvia, I look forward to the next time that we have a chance to visit. Thank you so much for being with me on the air today.
Thank you to you, too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
Hello, and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. The music you were listening to is Peruvian music, and I really find it fascinating that they have this wonderful flute sound that they bring in with their music that's just, I think, very ethereal in its tonality. So we wanted to play a little bit of that for you as we finish the interview out with Sylvia. By the way, she talked about a ceremony where the shaman constructs an offering of gratitude to Pachamama, Mother Earth, and Apus, the mountain spirits. And there was the movie I did a review on called Earth Pilgrims that shows in that movie this wonderful
ceremony that's done by the people and going into the mountains and honoring all of what they have come to learn and respect about Mother Earth, etc. So there's just so much in different cultures that we can really, really benefit from if we'll merely open our minds. I always have to sort of smile quietly to myself when I hear people using the term, oh, this was a primitive culture, these people are just so ignorant. I think we have lost so much wonderful wisdom through generations because of the arrogance of a few. You look at Inca history, there is so much that they had that was amazing in language and in culture, and yet it was destroyed within a very short period of time because of the ignorance of the conquerors. This has happened time and time again throughout history. The Hawaiians, the same thing happened among the Hawaiian people. When the missionaries and other people went into the islands to reform what they considered the primitive savages, to their dismay, they found that the healers of Hawaii were really quite effective, and they made sure that everything eventually was, to the best of their capacity, destroyed. It's really a shame when we will put labels on people, when we will make judgments without really understanding, taking the time to understand what it is that maybe has worked very, very well for them. No one ever has all the answers, and every culture offers wisdom and knowledge on its own level. And every culture has its ignorance and its biases that sometimes have to grow into new levels. But I've always thought it's such a shame that it's so easy to destroy, but it's not so easy to take the time to learn a culture and to understand what has maybe enabled it to survive for perhaps thousands of years. And it's been my good fortune to be able to interact in the positioning I've had of either speaking or doing broadcasting in different environments, coming in contact with people from all kinds of backgrounds, and finding that there is wisdom that they're willing to share if you're just patient enough to be open to learning what it is that they have to offer. And I just absolutely love it. So I'm so glad that Sylvia was able to be with us. Well, by the way, telephone lines are open. If you wanted to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be glad to do that. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. And let me give you my perceptions about you and perhaps something you're going through. So it's very simple. Just buzz me at 888-815-9756. You'll also have the opportunity to ask a question if you so desire. Well, let me tell you about who's coming on tomorrow and during the rest of the week. We're going to be talking with Fred Haney tomorrow. My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie. Yes, this is a delightful book. It's so refreshing. And I think Fred has done a wonderful way, a wonderful group of lessons, actually, that he's put together from what he's learned about his dog. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Gina Masano. We're going to be talking about intimacy after breast cancer. Breast cancer is something that you'd never want anybody to go through, female or male. Believe it or not, men do get it. And then how do you handle the effects afterwards? If you've had a double mastectomy, there is a whole different awareness about your body. How do you deal with that? Well, Gina has some wonderful, wonderful information to share. Then Felix Wolf is going to be my guest on Thursday. The Art of Navigation is what he's going to be discussing. Carlos Castaneda, remember him? Well, he is a student of this man. We're going to be learning about how his life was changed by the teachings of Carlos. And then we're going to be talking with Jeffrey Raceley, Bringing Progress to Paradise. Yes, this is a man who visited the high mountains of the Himalayas, and they call it the top of the world, and for good reason. What happens to a culture when you bring in Western knowledge, education, and information? Well, We'll find out. We've got a great lineup of guests this week, so I hope you'll tell your friends, and I hope you have the opportunity to tune in and listen. Now, by the way, the listing for all of the guests that are coming up this month, we have got them posted, so everything is there for you for your reading pleasure. Also, if you want to have further information, don't hesitate to contact me about any one of the guests. And if you know of someone that you think would make an interesting guest or has good material to submit, send me an email. Let me know. I'm always looking for people with unique stories and unique conditions. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to share a recipe with you, if I have the time here, before we go on break. It's a zesty tomato-topped salmon. I really enjoy a good salmon dish. And sometimes, well, other than just having it broiled with a little bit of salt and pepper and fresh lemon juice, which I think is optimum, I like to try a little bit of something different. So I thought, when I found this recipe, it's just so easy to do, very, very quick, and very, very tasty. So what I'll do is just give you the information, and then if I'm not finished before I go on to break, then I'll give you the directions on how to fix it. Here are the ingredients. You're going to need 4 salmon fillets. The fillet should be about 6 ounces each, and your butcher can either give you a nice wide piece that you can cut up yourself or give you the fillets as you would like to have them set up. And then you're going to need 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons. You need about 12 ounces of tomatoes, and they should be seeded and chopped. So it'll be about 2 cups. And if you don't find, because this time of the year, sometimes it's hard to find really good tomatoes, that if you wanted to use the little tomatoes, the little round ones, then all you do is get those, cut them in half or into quarters, however you want to do it, but do seed them. Take the seeds out. You're going to need 1/4 cup of chopped red onion, 1/4 cup chopped red onion, 1/4 cup of pitted Kalamata olives, 1/4 cup of that, and you want to chop those olives. You need 1/3 cup of loosely packed basil leaves, and roll them up and slice them really thinly. Oh, it smells so good, the fresh basil leaves. And then you're going to need 1 tablespoon of drained capers. Now, I know we're running out of time here, so I will give you the directions after I come back. But if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Okay, I wanted to give you the directions on this zesty tomato-topped salmon. It's a nice, refreshing taste difference that I think just complements salmon wonderfully. Now, what you want to do with your salmon, I gave you the ingredients before we went on break. You want to sprinkle the top of your salmon, of course, with your salt and your pepper. And then you want to put about a tablespoon of oil in a nonstick skillet. And, of course, it needs to be of a size that's going to accommodate your four fillets. And what you want to do, you want to put the skin side of the salmon up. That's right, once the oil is heated, and it needs to be on medium-high heat, by the way. Once the oil is heated, you want the skin side up. You want to cook it for 4 minutes, and then gently turn the salmon over and cook it until it's opaque in the center. And, of course, it'll cook through. It's only going to take about 3 or 4 minutes. Then you want to put it on a serving platter. You want to cover the fish because the fish is going to continue to cook, so you don't want to overcook in the skillet. And you want to cover it, put a little bit of foil over it, and just keep it warm. Now, the skillet, you use the same skillet. You want to take a paper towel, wipe it clean, and then you want to take your other tablespoon of oil, again, keeping your heat about medium-high, toss in your tomatoes, your onion, your chopped olives, and a little bit of salt and pepper, and you cook it like you're stir-frying until it's just warmed. So you're not overcooking this. You are sautéing it. Now, if you're like me and you like onions cooked, I am not big on raw onions at all. What you might want to do is put your onions in first, sauté them a little bit longer if you prefer having more of a cooked onion, then put in your tomatoes, your olives, and your seasonings, and then all you have to do, you remove the skillet from the heat, and then you put in your basil, your capers, mix it gently, take the foil off of your salmon, and spoon the ingredients on the top of the salmon fillet. And then if you want, you can put it all on the platter, all of what you have prepared with the tomatoes, etc. But you can also just do enough to decorate the salmon, just to give it some color, and then put the remaining ingredients in a separate bowl. So you have an option with this, so that people can take as much as they like. I really like the idea of the vegetables and having a little bit of extra. So I would be inclined to double the portion of vegetables. That's just me. And have them in, again, like a separate bowl there. But it's deliciously refreshing. You could have a baked potato, a pasta, whatever you would like. Now, if you wanted to use the salmon, wanted to fix it in a broiler, you could do that too. Just remember, do the skin side up in the broiler, and you follow everything else the same. However you prefer to fix it is your choice, but it's a delightfully light recipe. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756 if you'd like to chat. I love stories about people who defy odds, who say, you tell me no, I don't care. Well, how do you think your life would be affected if you lost half of your brain? Can you even imagine that? I can't, but I know of an individual. Her name is Christina, and this is a woman who has gone through some phenomenal experiences in her life, and I wanted to share her story with you today. She really was someone that went through some experiences that she never even dreamed she would have. She was told, after she had had a brain surgery, where so much of her brain had been removed, a good half of it, she was told by someone that was a medical professional, you won't ever be able to do anything. And she was 14 years old when this was said to her. What would you have done? How would you have responded? Well, she didn't give in. Now, what caused this surgery? It's Rasmussen's encephalitis. This is a disease that's exceptionally rare. And in Christina's case, it affected the right side of her brain. Now, this caused her to have seizures, and the doctors told her family that she would end up being paralyzed. It was just unbelievable what they said this disease would do to her. Now, she's just a teenager when this verdict is found out and given to her. And her parents, oh my God, what's going to happen to my daughter? What kind of a life is she going to have if you do this surgery? The truth was that nobody knew what the outcome would be. They just knew that this disease, if it were not stopped, if they didn't remove half of her brain, she wasn't going to survive at all because this disease is insidious. Well, she was having seizures that were so bad, she was getting 150 of them a day. And of course, you can imagine how isolated she felt. Well, she said, I'm ready for the surgery. So she knew that she was going to have a lot of work ahead of her after the surgery. She wrote a note to her doctor, whose name was Dr. Freeman. She said, I'm ready. I want my seizures in the dumpster. Now, after the surgery, Christina stopped having the 150 seizures a day. However, with the right side of her brain gone, her left arm was just hanging at her side, and her left leg wouldn't move. She had to go into rehab. She had to relearn how to sit up, how to walk. She even had to learn how to talk. And, of course, in doing this, she was having the additional discomfort of having lost her peripheral vision. And so she would have a lot more accidents than normal. The left side of her brain was supposed to take over the tasks of the right, like problem solving and communication. But it wasn't operating the way it was expected. However, she had a special education teacher whose name was Lynn, and she started turning everything that was to be learned into a kind of game. She developed special flashcards. She used pizza so that Christina could learn fractions again. And her family was just absolutely 100% supportive. Do you know what? She was told that she would never be able to play sports. However, a relative said, how about bowling? Christina said, I don't stop at no. She ended up becoming the captain of a bowling team and actually being a finalist in a state championship. There were so many people that would say, you can't make it. But she said she just had to work 10 times harder. A professor, when she wanted to go to college, said she couldn't make it. She ignored him. Kudos for Christina, because she really did it. She also ended up getting an internship after making the dean's list, working with people to overcome speech difficulties. She worked with people that said, you don't understand how hard it is. And Christina would say, I really do. And then she'd tell them her story. They never challenged her again. But you know what? She now is in her middle 20s. She's working with kids that have stuttering problems, people that have had strokes. She's an incredible woman. She said, to be able to do what I'm doing, it feels like a miracle. I just hope that my experiences will inspire others to never give up on themselves, because if you have a can-do spirit, there's nothing you can't do. Christina, you're quite a gal. This you need to keep in mind. Whenever you're feeling frustrated, don't give up. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day and enjoy the music. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.